chapter 2 tonight, Titus chapter number 2. I would like to meet with all of the first through sixth grade Sunday school workers right after church tonight. It'll be a brief meeting. I have the remaining prospects for you from VBS. These are the kids who came to Bible school. They did not make a profession of faith during Bible school, but they came to Bible school, and I'd like to give these to you tonight. So first through sixth grade, I'll meet with you just right in here, right after the service this evening, first through sixth grade. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women also, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Not going to get any further than that, I don't think, tonight. So let's stop our reading there and pray. Father, we love you in this meeting. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you're a God who loves us individually. Thank you that you're a good God, a good Father, wonderful Father. We praise you tonight for who you are. Help me to do an accurate job with your word tonight. Challenge us from your word. Make us more like you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we study through this book together, we've come to these verses here. This is part two to a message that I began on two words found in verse number one, the two words sound doctrine. So this is sound doctrine number two, okay, part number two. As we come to this chapter in these verses, we're reminded here that Paul is bearing his heart to a man by the name of Titus. And he's asking Titus to set in order the things that are wanting, in other words, the things that are lacking. He's writing a book here. He's writing a letter to Titus to say, now these churches need to be taught about these things. They're lacking in this, and I want you, Titus, to set them in order. Get all this in line. Now in the first chapter, we've already preached on it, Paul instructed Titus that one thing he needed to do in order to set in order the things that were wanting in these local churches was he needed to ordain elders, pastors, bishops in every city. Then he mentions in that chapter, chapter 1, that the qualifications for them to live up to was one of a godly character. In other words, Titus was to be cautious in selecting the pastors of the local churches in Crete and make sure that their lives lined up with God's standards. Now again in this, let us be reminded, I've already preached on it, but let us be reminded that being called to pastor a local church and being put in leadership of over others in a local church setting is a high, holy calling. It comes with accountability to God, and it comes with responsibility before God. Now in chapter 2, he's still speaking about what to set in order in these churches. So he turns his attention now from the leaders and he begins to speak to those who are inside the church. And he tells Titus, I want you to give them in the church sound doctrine. And before I get to the meat of this message again, it's interesting to note how chapter 1 ends and chapter 2 begins. You'll notice in chapter 1 that it ends with those who are unsaved, those who are abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. And even though there were those who said one thing and lived another, Titus was not to be like them, because in chapter 2 it opens with Titus being challenged to be different than the hypocrites. One man said in chapter 1 verse 16, Paul said they, but in chapter 2 verse 1, he said thou. They are this way, but you don't have to be that way. You know, I'm glad again here that if the world goes against God, I don't have to. If the world gets worse and worse, I can stay right with God. That's the way God's made the Christian life. Now, the point is, while others are living opposed to the gospel like they were in Crete, Titus was to be true to the gospel. And I'm glad that God has made the Christian life like this. Now, in the opening verse of this chapter, Paul challenges Titus to speak the things which become sound doctrine. The word sound here means to be in health. It means healthy doctrine, right. It means uncorrupt or whole. In other words, Titus was to teach the truth of the Word of God, not add to it, not take away from it. Oliver Green put it this way. In other words, Titus, do not incorporate your own ideas or opinions into your message when you preach. Teach the things that are doctrinally sound. Don't add anything to the gospel you've heard. Don't take anything away from it. Titus is to preach nothing that is opposed to the Word of God, nor anything that deviates from the Word of God. Sound familiar about this morning? He's to preach, thus saith the Lord. And he's not to incorporate his own tradition, his own fables, his own dogma, or the commandments of men into his message. He's to preach the pure gospel minus man's ideas and minus man's suppositions. Titus was to be a preacher who was faithful to the Word of God. And he was called to preach the Bible faithfully. He was to preach healthy doctrine. He was to preach, and everything he was to say to these churches, he was to have God looking down and saying, yes, that's good for that church. Yes, that's healthy for that church. Yes, if they will eat that, it will make them healthy. This is sound doctrine. Now, among the many things involved in a ministry that preaches sound doctrine, verses 2 down through verse number 10, which is where we're going to be for several services. This is our second one. It brings out an important thought concerning the teaching of sound doctrine in the local church. We see in these verses, beginning with verse number 2, that there are four groups of people that are mentioned that sound doctrine is to affect in the local church. In other words, if sound doctrine is preached, these four groups of people will be instructed by sound doctrine. They are the aged. We've already preached on that the first time we preached, the aged men and women. They are the young. That's where we're going to camp out tonight. They are Titus, the leader. And they are the servants, those who go out and work for other people throughout the week. Now, it is these four groups of people affected by sound doctrine that I want us to consider in this message. One man put it well. He said, the great apostle now turns from the preacher to the layman. It's imperative for a church to have godly ministers, but the church must also have godly members. A Christ-like preacher is important, but a Christ-like congregation is just as essential. If we're going to reach the world with the gospel, it'll never be done simply by preaching from the pulpit. All Christians are to be the pattern for the church. The burden is upon every Christian, not only the preacher. Now, the burden's on the preacher, but it's on every Christian within that church. There's no double standard in the New Testament. In other words, there's not one standard for the leader and another standard for the layman. It doesn't work that way. God has the same standard of holiness for both preacher and layman. Now, that's a healthy, sound doctrine church. When a church has sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, the preacher's going to preach that he only shouldn't be holy, but everybody sitting in the congregation ought to be holy. The Word of God, sound doctrine, doesn't just affect me, it's to affect you, in other words. Now, with this being the case, we're looking at several things here about sound doctrine. First of all, I've already preached on it. Not going to get bogged down, just going to mention it. You can go back and get it. I think it was last Sunday morning that I preached this. You can go back and get it. First of all, sound doctrine instructs the aged. That's found in verses 2, 3, and the first part of verse number 4. Now, in that, he separates the aged men from the aged women. The second thing I want to show you tonight is not just the aged men, but the second major point of this message is sound doctrine not only instructs the aged, the older generation, but number two, sound doctrine instructs the young. You see this in verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, we're just going to walk through these verses. By the way, I didn't say it, okay? God did. So don't let it ruffle your feathers. By the way, we're to be people of the book. Amen? Let's see what the book says. Because we're not adding to it, we're not taking away from it. God says, if you're a young woman or you're a young man, here's what I expect from you. The second major group here that is affected is the young generation. And you know, when young men and young women live according to sound doctrine, it will show in the way they live their lives. They won't just say it, they'll live it. You know, it's certainly a blessing to have a goal. I'm talking about to have a godly older generation in a local church. That is a blessing from God Almighty. We are blessed with the older generation at Buffalo Ridge. You precious older folks, you aged folks, as the Bible calls you, are you listening to me? God bless you. Stay right with God. I preach to you, so tonight we can all glean from this, but you can kind of relax a little bit tonight, okay? Now don't relax so far that you go to sleep on me, all right? But now God turns his attention from the older generation to the younger generation. And he does the same thing he did with the older. He separates them. He talks to the young women. Then he talks to the young men. It is a blessing to have godly older people, but it's also a blessing to have godly younger people too. And if you're a young man or young woman determined to give your life to God and allow him to use you for his glory and honor, determined to be a young man or woman who lives according to sound doctrine. Now, by the way, sound doctrine is found within the whole Word of God. So if you're a young man, even though just one thing's given to young men in this, he only says one thing to young men. Interesting, isn't it? There are many other things he says within the Word of God, friends. But he summarized it here with young men in just a moment. And as we look at this, we're going to separate just what the Word of God does. He talks to the young women first. This is letter A. Sound doctrine instructs the young. First of all, letter A, the young women. This is found in verse 4 and verse 5. When the young women live according to sound doctrine, notice I said when they live according to sound doctrine. I didn't say according to what they want, according to what they think, according to what they suspect, no. But if they live according to sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, then they're going to be in a church that's going to preach to them what God says here. God says right here how young women are to live. Young women. So let's just walk through these verses together. Verses 4 and 5 here. Now notice in verse number 3, talking to aged women, it says that as you go into verse number 4, that they, that's the older women, that they may teach the young women. Then he starts listing sound doctrine for them. What is sound doctrine in a young woman's life? What's it look like? How will she live? What will she be summarized by? What's her characteristics? Number one, she'll be sober. Amen. This has been reported to mean sound in mind, healthy mind. It means to be wise or self-restrained. Did you hear what I said? Young ladies, really any kind of age lady, or men for that matter, is your mind a safe place? Is it safe right there? Or is it a garbage dump? I could stop right there and I think it's time to call an altar call. Safe in mind. It's what sober means. Sound in mind. Healthy in mind. It means to be wise. It means to be self-restrained. It means there are some things that sound doctrine will keep you from doing. You show me a lady, you show me a man for that fact. I'm preaching to everybody, preaching to myself here. But specifically, the application is to young women because that's who he's talking to here. Is there anything you're doing that God says you should not be doing that? Because if you're a sober young lady, there are some things you are restrained from doing. That's what this word means. One commentator put it this way, it means to have their desires and passions well regulated and under proper control. And let me ask you a question. Do you know a young lady who's running wild? Do you know a young lady that in her mind is just running wild and she's not safe in mind, she's not serious, I mean, she's not wise, she's not self-restrained? Hey, it doesn't matter what it is. If she wants to do it, she's going to do it. Nobody's going to tell her how to live her life. You listening to me? There's people like that all over planet Earth. And God says if you're living according to sound doctrine, you won't live that way. you will live a self-restrained, sober, safe-in-mind lifestyle. Number two, just walking through these verses, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Here's an interesting thing. The older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands. Isn't that kind of strange? That they would have to teach the women to love their husbands? Now wait on me here. One man sheds light on this verse. Because when you study the customs of the day, sometimes it brings these thoughts to life. Why in the world would a young woman have to be trained and taught to love their husband? Why? One man said you need to grasp the historical setting to understand this. See, before, now get this, before Jesus Christ came, before he came, I'm quoting from a man here, women were simply considered pieces of property. They had no real place in society. Hey, ladies, there's a women's liberation movement going on. I call it anti-God. But I will say this, God is the one who sets you free. The Lord Jesus sets you free. He really did. They had no status, but were considered, now get this, let this speak to your heart. They were considered slaves bound to their husbands. Back in this day, okay? Slaves bound to their husbands. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ had lifted women and put them in partnership with their husbands. The gospel has linked their lives together. In marriage, two become one flesh, so that they move as one, they breathe as one, they live as one. That's God's idea. But in Crete, see, he's trying to set in things that are set in order, things that were wanting. What was lacking? What was it that was lacking? Well, in Crete, you see, some women were taking advantage of their newfound freedom in Christ. They began to put themselves above their husbands and to neglect their particular responsibilities, even to the point that many of these ladies, according to history, they were unfaithful to their husbands. See, these women were used to being looked at as slaves, bound to their husbands, bound as a slave. But then Jesus comes and sets them free. And in Crete, they began to abuse their freedom. They began to take it too far. And they start looking elsewhere. And they really, in their heart, didn't love their husband. Oliver Green said it this way, regardless of how humble the home may be, whether in the city or remote countryside, if mutual love exists between husband and wife, that home is a suburb of heaven. I like that statement. The house may be a mansion, the furniture of the finest. The couple may fare sumptuously every day and dress in purple and fine linen. The sweetest music musicians can afford may be heard throughout the house. But if two hearts are not knit together in love, that mansion is a hell on earth, he says. May it be said at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that our husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, and that our wives love their husbands like they're commanded to here. The home is falling apart. And if the home falls apart, so does the church. And if the church falls apart, so does the nation. I'm telling you, it starts in your home. Let me ask you a question. Talking to the young ladies, because that's who God's speaking to here. The Lord set them free, but they were abusing that according to my understanding of history here. And God was saying, I didn't set you free to do your own thing. I'm telling you, even though you're free in me, you are to love your husband the way I've asked you to love him. Let's let God speak to us here. You know what this tells me? Love is a choice. Did you hear what I said? Love is not a feeling. See, Hollywood has taken the matrimonial love and they've changed it into nothing but lust. That's all it is. that if you don't feel attracted to her, you must not love her. And if you don't love her, or if you don't love him because you don't feel attracted to him, then you look elsewhere. That is a lie from the devil, my friends. When did God say, love your wife when you feel like it? When did God say, ladies, love your husbands when you feel like? God doesn't say that. God said, Titus, you preach the gospel to them and you tell these young ladies that if they're going to submit to sound doctrine, here's what I expect from them. They're to be sober. They're to be healthy in mind. They're to be serious. They're to be wise. They're to be self-restrained. And you tell them that I did not set them free to usurp authority and to run around. I set them free to tie themselves down to my will, and my will is this: even when he's unlovely, even if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, you still love your husbands. That's sound doctrine. That's sound doctrine. Let's move on. Number three. Is it hot in here, or is it me? Is it what I'm preaching or something up here, you know? By the way, hey, it feels good just to rear back and just say what God said. I didn't say that. God did. That's what God said. Let's go on. By the way, aren't you seeing that all people can learn these lessons? Yes? Even though nobody should go out of here saying, well, I'm an aged woman. I don't have to love my husband, thank God. Don't do that. Come on. Because the aged women are to teach the younger women to do this. Amen. Don't be guilty. Say, well, thank God that wasn't for me. He's talking to the young girls tonight. Hey. Come on, friends. We can all learn from this. Number three. Interesting here. Verse 4, that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Notice this. Teach them to love their children. Wow. Really? You mean the ladies, the young ladies in Crete, had to be taught to love their children? Yes, that's what God said. Are you starting to see when God said set in order things that are wanting, things that are lacking? Do you see where they're lacking here a little bit? God says, let me tell you where they're lacking. The young women, they're not sober. The young women, they don't even love their husbands. They're abusing freedom. Let me tell you something else, Titus. The young women are so perverted in Crete that you have to teach them to love their own kids. Sounds a lot like America, doesn't it? Amen. One man said in Crete, the women had given themselves to pleasure and activities outside the home. They had no particular interest in their children. Talking about in Crete. So they were reminded to love their children. This was a call for unselfish love, genuine love that sacrifices itself for those children. You know, it's a shame that young mothers must be admonished to love their own kids. If you're a young mother, God's blessed you with children. How do you view your children? Do you view them as a burden? Now, let's be honest. All kids are burdens every now and then. But do you view them as a burden? Or do you really love them with unselfish love? I was at teen camp last week, and I'm not trying to falsely judge anybody because I don't know this lady's heart. But just to kind of show you a little bit, a gentleman that had his group there, I think they're from North Carolina, they run bus routes. And he said a lady came out to the bus carrying an infant. An infant. And just like a little car seat, and said, will you take this one on the bus? Will you take this one on the bus? Now, I'm not trying to judge that lady. I'm not saying she doesn't love her kid. That would be wrong of me to say that. But there's something not right about that, friends. I'm not talking about she's going to get on the bus with the kid. She wanted to stay home wanted to send the infant to church on the bus. Something not right about that. You know there's something not right about that. We live in a day where young mothers don't even love their kids. Some of you precious people who are in the medical field, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm talking about you'll read things, you'll see things where a mother kill her own kids. Or somebody will let a boyfriend into their home. I'm talking about just down through the years. And that boyfriend beat the child's brains out. That's perverted, friends. And God says, let me tell you something, church. When you live according to sound doctrine, I know they're snotty-nosed. And I know sometimes they'll drive you crazy. And I know sometimes they'll make it to where you feel like you're going to pull your hair out. But if you live according to my word and sound doctrine, you'll recognize they are a gift from God. And you will lay your life down for them. You will love your children. Hey, the next time you're tempted to look at your children in a wrong way, may the Holy Spirit of God bring back Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Titus, you teach them to love their kids. Let me tell you why he says that. Because he loves them. And by the way, he loves his kids. That's you. That's me. Do you drive God crazy every now and then? Are you snotty-nosed every now and then? Do you start grabbing things, putting it in your mouth, so to spiritually speaking, that God doesn't want you to? Do you? You ever disobeyed God? You ever disappointed Him? You ever gone against Him? You know what I'm glad of tonight, though? Even when I'm wrong, and I know it, when He says, don't you pull up on that boy, and I pull up on it. Don't you grab that. And I grabbed it. There's never been a time that I can ever recollect that it's ever crossed my mind. God doesn't love me. You know in your heart that whatever you do, God still loves you, don't you? You know that, don't you? And God says, you teach those young mothers that if they're going to live according to my word, sound doctrine, they're going to love their children. Sound doctrine makes a difference in our lives. Let's go on. We move into verse number 5 now. You teach these young women that they be sober, that they love their husbands, that they love their children. Verse number 5, you teach them to be discreet. This word discreet is very similar to sober. Because it too means safe and sound in mind. It means self-controlled. It means temperate. See, sober means that you're going to restrain some things. There's some things that you will self-restrain from. You're not going to do that. Discreet is a little bit different. It means the same and safe in mind, sound in mind. So anytime God repeats something, He's repeating it for emphasis. He wants our minds to be clean, okay? But this verse is a little bit different in that the sober means self-restrained. This verse, this word discreet means self-controlled. Let me ask you a question. How's your temper? Am I speaking to somebody that has a short fuse? You ever dealt with somebody like this? My fuse is this long. Well, God just made me this way. My fuse is that long, and you better stay away from it. You listening to me? The Word of God speaks to this. Proverbs 25, 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. See, back in this day, a city, its protection was its walls. Its protection was its walls. And the Word of God says, if you can't rule your own spirit, you are like a city with broken down walls. What's he saying? He's saying you're opening yourself up for attack. No doubt in a crowd this size, I'm talking to some hotheads. I used to be a hothead. And I hope used to is accurate to say that, okay? My mom could vouch for this. Now, if you talk to Glad, my great aunt, she'll say, I do not remember it. She says, I was chasing my brother. Many of you have heard this, but she said, as a kid, I was chasing my brother on the riding lawnmower, trying to run over him. Sometimes I wonder if I hit him. You know what I mean? But anyway, I used to have a bad temper, terrible temper, awful temper. I used to throw a baseball pretty good. Not today. If I tried to throw one now, my arm would fall off probably. But I had a pretty good arm growing up. And my brother, like a lot of good brothers are, they know what buttons to push on you. Yeah, I heard somebody say yeah to that. You know what I mean? I was from here to the pulpit from him and grabbed a baseball and threw it at him as hard as I could. Aren't you glad your pastor's not like that anymore? What would you do if I kept some baseballs up here in the pulpit? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Discreet. Under control. Let me ask you a question. Are you under control? Do you see how practical the Word of God is? He's saying, young ladies, be under control. Be discreet. Let me give you another one. Teach them verse number 5, not only to be discreet, but be chaste. This word chaste, very simple. It means be pure. It means be modest. Look it up. It means be modest. It means be pure. It means be clean. You know, there's debate, and people try to debate how women ought to dress. But there's one thing that no lady can debate. Whatever you wear, it ought to be modest. Amen? Amen? Nobody can... I'm not to be modest. Come on, friends. That's what this word means. It means be modest. Be clean. Be pure. So are you? Are you clean? Are you pure? Are you modest? Let me give you another one. As we march through verse number 5, be discreet. Be chaste. Notice this phrase. Teach them to be keepers at home. What does that mean? Does that mean they're never to work? That's not what it says. Preacher, I think it'd be crazy to say women ought not to work. Good night, he'd hang himself. You know what I mean? It doesn't say that. It says, but you teach them to be keepers at home. What does this mean? This means, if you look it up, the word keeper means guard. You teach them to guard their home. And you teach them to be a stayer at home, to guard it and to stay at home. Now again, don't let your mind run wild here, okay? The emphasis here is that the home is to be her top priority. This is the emphasis. As one commentator said, it said, this does not mean, of course, that they are never to go abroad. But it means they're not to neglect their domestic affairs. They are not to be better known abroad than at home. Did you hear that statement? If you're better known outside than you are at home, that is out of order. That is out of the will of God. Our first duty, especially to young ladies. But again, remember, in context, the older ladies are teaching the young ladies this. which means the older ladies are doing the same. What does it mean? It means this: teach the young women. In God's eyes, your number one priority is your home. It's your home. May I say this to you? I thank God as a testimony to you, precious people, that my wife does not have to work outside the home. I thank God for that. I don't apologize for that. I thank God for it. At the same time, some of you precious ladies have to work outside the home, and I commend that. I salute that. But don't let that job become top priority over your home. Don't do it. Your home is to be number one priority. And may I say this to you? If my wife was out making a job, doing a job, earning all this money, coming in, and we lost our kids in the process, is it worth it? Are you listening? That's never the way God intended it. God wants the young ladies to put the home number one. Is home number one in your life? Now, you can work a job and the answer can still be yes to that. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not preaching on women not working. But I am preaching this, what God says, that He says they ought to be keepers at home. They ought to be guards at home. The home ought to be in their heart. It ought to be their number one priority. I hope that made enough sense. Let me give you two more here. To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home. Notice this, you teach them to be good. Isn't that interesting? Just teach them to be good. This means in all things. As one commentator said, in all respects, in all relations, to a wife, to a mother, a sister, there can be no higher characteristic ascribed than to say that she's good. You ever heard this? She's a good wife. She's a good mother. She's a good woman. God says you teach them to live in such a way that if somebody's going to tell the truth about them, they're going to say, that's a good girl going there. Simple, isn't it? Is it not simple? Do we not need more good girls in the United States, friends? In our homes, in our church? Do we not need more good young ladies in our churches? Sure, teach them to be good. Just be good. Then he closes his statements with her right here in verse number 5, that they are to be obedient to their own husbands. He said earlier to love their husbands, but now he says be obedient. This means to be in subjection to their husbands. The young ladies are to be taught by the older generation, the older ladies, to come under the authority of their husbands in all things. Unless the husband tries to usurp God's authority over them. It's better to obey God than man. In other words, if your husband says, go kill that person, he shouldn't. Now, you submit to me, go kill him, I told you. Come on, friend, come on. You're to obey God. You understand what I'm saying to you? You don't subject yourself blindly to the Word of God, but unless the Word of God speaks to it in all things, the wife is to submit herself to her husbands. The wise men said the Word of God says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. The young women are to live according to these principles. Notice this now, verse number 5. They're to live like this. Notice the last phrase, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Now, the word blaspheme means to defame. It means to be defamed. It means to be spoken evil of. Young women, get this, should have a desire to live like this, even if it rubs them wrong. You mean I got to love him? You mean I got to submit to him? You mean I got to do that? What are you talking about? Wait a minute. God said this is sound doctrine. And young women, if you live like this, the Word of God will not be defamed. The word of God will not be spoken evil of. Nobody's going to look at a submissive, loving wife and say, how dare the word of God say something like that. Nobody. But if they don't live like this, it gives them cause to blaspheme the Bible that you say you love. Now that's enough to say, God, okay, I'm doing it. Amen. Don't live in any way that brings defamation to this book. That's the young women. Now we close with the young men. He said 8 things to the ladies. He says 1 to the young men. Now don't be a lady. Unfair! Unfair! No. God speaks so much, because if you turn to the book of Ephesians, just husbands and wives, he gives the wife a couple of things to do, but he overloads the husband with things to do. It balances out, is all I'm trying to say to you. But you see this in verse number 6, young men likewise, here's all he says to them, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. They're exhorted to be sober-minded. The idea here is, as one commentator put it, the idea is that they should be entreated to be prudent, discreet, serious in their deportment, to get the mastery over their passions and appetites, to control the propensities to which youth are subject, that they should be such self-government under the influence of religion as to avoid excess in everything. A well-governed mind superior to the indulgence of those passions to which the young are prone will express the meaning of the word here. In other words, he's saying this, and oh, likewise, you just tell the young men to live under control. You tell the young men to be sober-minded. You tell the young men to win the battle right there. Men, I don't care how old or young you are, is that not the greatest battle we fight? Am I right or wrong? God says, win the battle there. Because if you win the battle there, you'll win the battle out here. Show me a young man doing things he should not be doing, and I'll show you a young man who's not sober-minded. Show me a young man who's running around his wife, I show you a young man who's not sober-minded. Show me a young man that's listening to the wrong kind of music, I show you a young man who's not sober-minded. See where I'm going with this? God's really touching every aspect of his life by just giving him that one statement right there. And likewise, you exhort the young men that they live a godly lifestyle. Now, as I come to a close today, I got as far as I wanted to get tonight. If you consider yourself a younger man or younger woman, in my study, I can't verify this, but just in my study, one of the books I use, it's brought out how the aged men and aged women were those who were 60 and above. Now, I'm not saying that that's literally what this passage is talking about, but just for illustration's sake, I'm going to use that, okay? If you're 60 and above, you are considered aged. If you're below 60, you're young. Just for illustration's sake. Younger generation, just like we need the older generation, we need the younger generation who will stand to their feet, spiritually speaking, and say, God, I'm going to live according to sound doctrine. I want to be a young lady like that. And God, make me a young man like that. May I say this to you? We need you. This church needs you. And it's time the younger generation starts rising up and start saying, God, make me like you. Make me sober-minded. Make me discreet. Help me love my mate. Help me love my children. Help me be pure and safe in my mind. Help me to be a young man or woman in this local church like that. And to you teenagers who are here, I just came off a life-changing week at youth camp. a young man, 14 years old. God got a hold of him this past week. His daddy contacted me this afternoon. And he said, teenagers are still making decisions in church this morning. Praise God. Said, thank you for the best week of camp our kids have ever had. And he said his young boy came to him, 14 years old, when they got home. He sent me a text and he said, my boy just told me at dinner, I don't want to fail God anymore. All I'm saying to you, if you're a young man or a young woman, God says, I expect you to live in certain ways. Why don't you come and say, God, make me a young man like that. Make me a young woman like that. Because when we live according to sound doctrine, that's how we're going to be living. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father, bless this, I pray, and may your will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As we're preparing for the invitation, as soon as she gets prepared, she can begin to play through softly. Anything about dedication, Brother Daniel, anything about giving your life to God, something like that, whatever you choose will be fine, will be appropriate. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? If you haven't, why don't you come like the young lady did this morning, 23 years old, broken, trusting Jesus Christ as her Savior? Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you as a young man or young lady, just like the Word of God is speaking to in this passage. Young women, young men. And he's saying to you, live by sound doctrine. Live according to sound doctrine. And may God help you with this. And if you young ladies and you young men say, God is speaking to me. I am under 60 years of age. I'm 59 or younger. And God is speaking to my heart. I'm a lady. I want to be a lady like that. Now, I trust that all of you want to be a lady like that, but I'm asking if God is really speaking to you, really speaking to you. And you say, Jody, I'm a young lady, 59 or younger. And boy, God is using this in my heart, and I want to rise and say, I want to be a young woman like that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You're a young lady, and you want God to use you like that? Yes? Keep it up big and high, big and high, big and high. God bless you. Have you young men, boys, teenagers, young men, 59 and below? You say, God's really using this, and boy, I want to be a young man like that. I want to be a young man that is sound in my mind, that's under control, that pleases God. I want to be like that 14-year-old boy who said, I don't want to fail God anymore. I want to give God my life. Have you young men say, God's really using this? 59 and below, young man, God's using this in your life. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest young person. Yes, God bless you. If you raise your hand to anything, young lady, young man, several of you, would you look right up here at me just a moment? I raise my hand with you. I want to be a man like that. Why don't you determine you're going to do it for the glory of God? And I'm going to ask every one of you to respond. Get on your face and say, God, help me live my life according to sound doctrine. Help me to be a young lady, a young man like that in Titus chapter 2. Father, take it and use it, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Daniel singing, would you get out of your seat and would you come? Would you come and get on your face and say, God, make me a young man like that. God, make me a young lady like that. God, help me to stand for God, sound doctrine all the way through. Help me to live my life for you, to be faithful to you, and to be a young lady like that, a young man like that. Make me more like you.
Just as I am with.
You know what I think would be good?
One plea,
Word of God was speaking to the older ladies, the aged women. If you're 60 years and older, and you're a lady, would you look right up here at me just a moment? You're 60 years and older. I didn't have this plan, but I think it'd be good. See these young ladies here? If God would so lead you, why don't you get out of your seat and just come and kneel right beside him. Put your arm around him and say, can I pray with you? I'm an older lady. You're a younger woman. I'd like to pray with you. If God leads you, do it now. Come on. If God leads you, do it. Come and put your arms around one of these ladies. If you're a young man, an older man, 60 years and above, would you look up here at me just a moment? You're 60 years or older. See these young men? Why don't you come and put your arm around one of them? So I'm an older man in this congregation. You're a young man. Can I pray with you? Would you let me help you? Come on. Come now. I think God's in this. If the Lord's laying this on your heart, come on. Put your arm around one of these young men. You older ladies, put your arm around one of these young ladies. You older generation of men, put your arm around one of these young men. Come and pray with them.
With
many come and pray with
a conflict, many a doubt.
We need more of this.
When
the older generation gets with the younger generation, trains them how to be more like God.
Lamb of God, I come.
Singing, Brother Daniel.
Just as I am poor, wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Meetings to remind you of. Brother Bob needs to meet with all the adults going on the mission trip. I'll have you meet in the blue room, okay? You'll meet in the blue room, all the adults going on the mission trip. And I need for first through sixth grade workers to stay behind just for a moment. I just want to give these to you. It's been good to be in the house of God tonight. And may the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. First through sixth grade workers, if you'll stay behind. And all mission trip adult workers, if you'll go to the blue room. That'll be good. Father, bless this, I pray. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming. First through sixth grade, if you'll move this way, all the workers, if you'll move this way real quickly, okay?